Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the FPL Family YouTube channel. Lee here alongside Sam. And we've done midfielder, Sam. We've done forwards. So now it's time to talk about defence. It's time to talk about the defence. And we've already discussed the fact that the bonus point system, the changes to the bonus point system this year, we did it in a video a few weeks ago. If you haven't checked that out yet, go check it out. It's not going to be kind to defenders, We don't think it's going to be kind to defenders. So therefore, I personally think I'm going to be spending less on my defence than I ordinarily would. However, when I look at my current draft, I have two premiums in there. And then Pedro Porro scoring goals for fun in preseason. I'm like, okay, nice, this is going to be a bit harder than I thought. Let's dig into the defenders, Sam. Let's talk about the premium defenders to start with. And you can see, guys, my draft on the screen right now in terms of who I'm going for. This is draft number 364 of many, many. We've got a couple of weeks till the start of the season. This will change, obviously, but like I said, I'm not going big at the back. I've got Vardy and I've got Gabriel. So
you're going quite big at the back, Lee?
We'll talk about the 4.0s a bit later on.
Because big at the back has changed, no? Because back in the good old days, big at the back meant four huge defenders, didn't
true.
It?
Yes,
it meant
true.
You had Trent and Robbo, both of them, because you had to. You had a...
Reece James, 6.5.
Oh, yeah, you had a bit of Reece James. Maybe you had both of two Chelsea defenders Chile. As well. Maybe a Chile in there as well. You spent big. You spent big. You had four.
Not this year.
This year, big at the back feels like two.
If you've got two, you're doing all right.
You're doing big at the back if you've got two.
And you probably haven't got Haaland and Salah.
Correct.
But listen. So here's a question then. Are there any defences that you just have to cover? Because I'm saying Guardiola and I'm saying Gabriel here. And the reason I'm going there is because they were statistically the two best defences of the league last season. It's not rocket science. I feel like I've got to cover them.
And both of them very attacking as well. So,
well, Vardy in particular at the back end of last year, right? Yes.
But when you think about Gabriel, I think he had more shots than any of the other Arsenal defenders. And although Ben White is priced at 0.5 more and had more creative threat than Gabriel did in terms of actual shots on goal, Gabriel was the most attacking of the Arsenal defenders. Now, I am with you. And this doesn't happen very often, but I completely agree with you on Arsenal and Manchester City. Like, I think those are the two defences that I would feel very uncomfortable not owning.
Got to have an Arsenal defender, haven't you?
I just think...
Just got to. Even City, I think you can swerve it if you wanted to. But Arsenal, you got to have, haven't you?
Lee, I remember back last season. I had Saliba every single week. The man never left my team. He was in my team every single week and he was phenomenal for me. And in up until about, I don't know, 10 game weeks to go till the end of the season, just owning Saliba was okay. And then all of a sudden, just owning Saliba wasn't enough.
Yeah.
And you had to have the double up, because if you didn't have the double up of the Arsenal defence, you were getting a red arrow if they kept a clean sheet. And that's just how it was. And the Arsenal defence from my side isn't getting any weaker. If anything, they're strengthening it. They're buying additions. They
Calafiori's come in,
the defence.
Have I said that right?
Calafiori, yes. So they are strengthening their defence, and is shown by their FPL price points. They're all coming in, apart from Timber, who's at 5.5. All the rest of them are in at 6. And I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, I want two. Never mind one.
Yeah, but you can't do it. Can you? Who's in your draft right now?
Well, I'm really struggling so much that my current Arsenal defender of choice is David Raya in goal.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Because I physically can't get 2 6 millions. And I trust Raya with the clean sheets more than I do Edison.
We've already discussed this though, Sam. The keepers have got a ceiling of 6 this year. Unless they save a pen. And even then, they're not guaranteed any bonus points from that pen save anymore. But unless they're scoring goals.
But they will get save points. They will get save
points. Yeah, but that won't... points before used to mean bonus as well. Now they just mean save points.
But Lee, I honestly don't think the new bonus point system is going to mean that defenders and and goalkeepers just drop off a cliff. I don't think
it will from a big bonus points perspective.
I don't think that they are just suddenly going to become non-assets. And I think if you look at the goalies, realistically, what do you want from your goalie this season? You just want clean sheets, right?
So don't spend 5-5.
Who statistically is most likely to get the most clean sheets this season? It's Raya, in my opinion. He's the one that's most likely to get the clean sheets. Of the defenders that are likely to get clean sheets and attacking returns, I put Vardy on top of that pile. And that's why I've decided to go that way, rather than going for, say, an Edison and a Saliba.
Okay.
Because I think that way I'm targeting in the goalkeeper of choice with a defender of choice. If I could afford them, I would have two defenders. and I'd go for a Ben White or a Gabriel or a Saliba or whoever it is. But I just can't.
Anybody else from City, though? Or is it Vardy or bust?
It's Vardy or bust for me. It's
I think
City.
He's the one, isn't he?
I think so.
He's the one to have. So not too much more conversation on that. Tell me then about the, you know, we haven't talked about the most premium. The gentleman on the left-hand side there, Mr. Trent Alexander-Arnold, currently owned, according to the official site here, with 21.3%. So taking a price drop from 8 to 7, and there's a few FPL managers that fancy a bit of that. 21.3% owned. The fixtures look really good, as we've has been well documented. Liverpool fixtures looking good for the start of the season. Could be playing in a more advanced role under Slot. We don't really know that yet. All that we can say is that Connor Bradley's been showing up very well in pre-season. So if it is a straight choice at right back between Bradley and Trent, Slot has got a decision to make. I think Trent gets it, but it'd be very harsh on Bradley to drop out. So could Slot try and put Trent in that midfield position there because he's got Bradley there at right back? First of all, do you think he's worth the 7 million, Trent?
I mean, of course. I think but the problem is that you haven't got 7 million. And I'm surprised that 21% of the game have found 7 million to spend on Trent. And my suspicion is that those 21% probably don't have both Haaland and Salah. They probably have one or the other of Haaland and Salah.
There's a few that are saying he can cover Salah as a Liverpool player. That's the same noise I make. But he is still, what, 5.5 cheaper than Salah. So...
But better to cover Salah than
Jota?
There's
a bit going around about, you know, can you have Trent and Jota rather than having a Mo Salah in your team? I don't like it, but that's because I'm such a Mo Salah fanboy. Trent only just coming back into training as well over the last few days. After the Euros. So, you know, the only sort of training videos I've seen of Trent of him in the gym doing some kind of explosive stuff looks okay. But, you know, until he touches some grass, we don't know, right? So... I'm totally not against it, but at 7 million feels a bit rich for me for a defender. That's all I'd say.
Yeah, and also I am kind of intrigued by the Liverpool defence for the opening weeks, because obviously Robertson is injured and who's going to play in that position? And we have seen that Liverpool sometimes can be vulnerable when they don't have all of their defenders there. And it has been, you know, it was not great defensively last season. I think that's a nice way of putting it. But they didn't. You had so many big players. Trent was out for a long time. Virgil was out for a bit. Robertson was out for a long time. You were down to bare bones. Alisson as well, of course, yeah. So this season, I don't think it's going to be that bad, but you are going to start the season without Robbo. So I don't know. For me...
We've got Tsimikas, haven't we? Do you think Tsimikas will start? Don't worry. Tsimikas is
in. Didn't he score in pre-season?
He did. He scored against Manchester United the other
night. 5 million they've got to pay for him. He's not even a budget enabler.
Yeah, maybe. We saw Joe Gomez going at left back. Listen, I don't think you're having Robbo, Tsimikas or Gomez in your FPL team. It's you're going to have Trent or maybe, and I saw this on Twitter earlier today, maybe Gerald Kwanzaa starts the season. I don't know whether Konate, having played a little bit in the Euros and being kind of a bit on and off the injury bench, Kwanzaa's come in and played very, very astutely next to Virgil van Dijk.
He's four and a half.
So that's why I think he might get... a little bit of love at the beginning of the season, not least for those that are looking to early wildcard. You might go for Kwanzaa. And if you get it wrong and Konate is your man, then easy swap to another 4.5, right? But Trent, I think definitely I can see why people want to go for him. Will get goal threat. You know, will be on most of our set pieces still. There will be a little bit of McAllister and Szoboszlai knocking about as well. But Trent, I think, is still the man when it comes to those. Let's talk about your man, Pedro Porro, having a very, very good... pre-season. Very, very nice goals that he's scoring. From what I've seen of some of the Spurs pre-season narrative, defending leaving a little bit to be desired, but who cares from an FPL perspective when he's banging them in from 30 yards?
Well, yes, you're absolutely 100% right, but defending always leaves a little bit to be desired at Spurs, let's be honest.
It's just a Spurs thing.
That's just a Spurs thing, but we also should remember that Romero, Van de Ven, still not back with Spurs. Udogie's only just arriving back now.
True enough, yeah.
So we have been playing like Ollie Skip at centre-back for a lot of pre-season. Dragosan arrived back just as we arrived in South Korea. So he's only played one match with us. So we haven't had, I mean, literally it's been Pedro Porro has been the only defender that's been playing.
That's a concern though, no, coming into game week one. You've got two really nice fixtures there against Leicester and Everton.
Mm-hmm.
And many will be getting on Porro looking for the double digit hauls, you know, goals and clean sheets in those games. But what you're saying is a lot of Spurs players haven't had the kind of full pre-season defensively.
So the forwards and the midfield, pretty much all back. And not a lot of them didn't go away. Porro has been the only defender that's been there through the whole of pre-season. Vaccaro went back early because he went out with Italy from the Euros earlier. So he's been back for a bit longer. But even then, he's only been playing sort of 45 minutes per game. So the defence at Spurs certainly hasn't been stable during this pre-season. The one good thing about our match against Leicester is that it's not until the Monday of the opening weekend. So it does give Postecoglou a little bit more time with his players once they return, and they are all due back ahead of, so we're flying back from South Korea, we played Bayern Munich over the weekend, we'll be back sort of Monday, Tuesday, and then we've got another game against Bayern Munich next Saturday. Okay. That's our last pre-season match, and I suspect in that one we will see the Romeros, the Van de Vens, the solid defence, and it will be interesting to see then what happens. But yeah, certainly Pedro Porro has found his shooting boots this pre-season.
Yeah, I hear you, although Ange Ball, and I think we're going to see the next evolution of Ange Ball this season. I think it's going to be a good season for Spurs. We'll talk more in a couple of weeks when we do our pre-season predictions, guys. We'll do a live stream in a couple of weeks. You won't want to miss that one. Hit subscribe for that one, because we always, at the beginning of every season, predict the top four, the bottom three, golden boot, all that sort of stuff. You won't want to miss that one. So hit subscribe for that. Spoiler alert, I might just be mentioning Spurs.
What?
Somewhere in there. You know,
what, not in the relegation battle.
Well, unless Ange Ball goes really, really wrong.
Maybe you're more positive than me.
I think having a good season.
My personal view, for what it's worth, on Porro is I don't really like investing in the Spurs defence for these early weeks. I think we're going to take a little while to settle in.
All right. 27.5% disagree with you, Sam. They disagree with you. That's the majority of the premium bracket. I'm sure we'll cover some more as we go through. But let's talk about the 4.5 bracket, because if you're going to have your Haalands, your Salahs and everybody else in your team, you're going to need to find a couple of 4.5 gems. I'm going to filter here by 4.5 and just see who the community are picking. And right now it's Anderson, it's Byrne, it's Konsa, it's Mikalenko, it's Gehi. It's even your mate Van de Ven. Van de Ven? Yeah. I almost said Van de Vaart there. He's also a Spurs legend.
Blast
from the
past. You won't find him in the defence though.
Mickey Van de Ven, Robinson. Some really, really nice options at 4.5 in FPL this season. Who, out of that little lot, is catching your eye?
There's a wealth of them, isn't there? It feels like we have been spoilt by 4.5s this year, because there's some really nice options in there. Konsa has been in every single one of my drafts since the get-go. I really like Aston Villa. I really like the way that they play. I really like Konsa. And I think for me, I just want to have an Aston Villa defender in there.
The Villa fixture's a little bit mixed though to start.
But he's a 4.5.
But I think if you take that Arsenal home game out, which again is, I don't know, but that, what's that, 5:30 on a Saturday? I'm going to hazard a guess that's the first Villa home game of the season on TV, under the lights, all that sort of good stuff. Good, you know, good vibes from pre-season, being in the Champions League, all that sort of stuff. That's not going to be an easy game for Arsenal to go away to Villa in game week two. And then look at that, the wealth of twos around it. The West Ham's, Leicester's, Everton, Wolves, Ipswich, even Man United at home doesn't look too bad. And then it's Fulham, Bournemouth. You could rely on Konsa for a lot of those, couldn't you?
The benefit of the 4.5s is that you're going to have, I think everybody, regardless of how you set up the rest of your team, everybody is going to have at least two 4.5 million defenders. And so as long as you pick two that rotate nicely, so you don't have to play your Konsa against Arsenal, you can go with, you know, a Van de Ven alongside him, and you can play him at home to Everton instead that week. And you can just select your 4.5s wisely. And I think this is the key strategy with your 4.5s. Decide who you really want. Who's the one 4.5 that you think, yes, that's the one that I want to play.
Bet on him.
I'm going to bet on him. I want to play him most weeks, because if you're going for a Gabriel and a, whoever it is, then you're going to need one more defender you can rely on and you want to play most weeks. So pick that 4.5 and then look at who rotates best with him? Which other teams rotate nicely alongside?
Well, go on then. Who does with Aston Villa? Who rotates nicely with Aston Villa?
Well, you can go for a Van de Ven, because when Aston Villa have got that difficult fixture against Arsenal, Spurs have got a nice home fixture against Everton. So you could go with him. And as the Spurs have those two horrible fixtures in game weeks 3 and 4, that's where one of your problems comes, because one of those matches is against Kwanzaa himself. So you will have to make a choice in that week or play your other 4.5 that time.
So Spurs don't play Aston Villa in 3 and 4.
Oh, so
Spurs
it's Newcastle. It's later on. Yeah, it's Dan Byrne. That's right. But yeah, so you can kind of use him if you want to. I think one of the other options that I really like is the Palace defence and going for an Anderson.
Many alongside. FPL managers looking at him or Gehi, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that works really nicely as well if you want to go for a Palace defender. And again, I don't mind which one, really. Anderson, obviously, has been around a bit longer. Gehi, not really back yet from the England duties.
Well, 22.8% team selected by Anderson currently is the most popular defender in FPL, whereas Gehi's down at 9.1. Why do you think that is? What's the difference there?
Well, the budget, in terms of the budget picks, that is anyway, obviously, that you've got.
Sorry,
your
yes, I've got it filtered to 4.5, haven't I?
And I think part of the reason why that is because the Palace fixtures are really nice. And historically, Palace...
Why Anderson over Gehi?
Because Gehi's been away on international duty. I think that's why. So Gehi hasn't rejoined up with Crystal Palace yet, so we're not really seeing him in pre-season.
You think there's a bit more goal threat from Anderson?
I think if FPL had added points for clearances, blocks, interceptions, all of that stuff, like we had in the Euros game, I think we'd have seen a flip of this. And I think we'd have seen Gehi be much more attractive than we would have Anderson. But Anderson has a level of goal threat that we don't often see from Gehi in the Premier League. So I think that's potentially why people are more likely to go with Anderson over
him. I think
him.
Gehi's more of a sort of... He's the more class player, isn't he? He's the one that will put his foot on the ball and calm things down. Whereas Anderson's a bit more of a sort of, you know, elbows out, clearances, blocks, interceptions, goal threat, that sort of thing. Gets fouled a lot, you know, which again will suit the new bonus point system. So he racked up 12 bonus points last season, Joachim Anderson. I actually don't know this. I'm going to see what Gehi racked up. He got 6, so about half of what Anderson got. So let's see how the new bonus point system plays out. It might, in my opinion, favour Anderson slightly over Gehi, but there's definitely some merit in the narrative you were saying there in terms of Gehi going a bit longer in the Euros, etc. Who else at 4-5 do you like to look of?
Do you know, I know I'm in the minority when I say this, but I'm not feeling the love for the Newcastle defence.
Right, okay.
Dan Byrne has been incredibly popular. I don't find it easy to rotate him with another 4.5 that I really like. Because when the Newcastle fixtures, I mean, actually they've got a really nice run of fixtures and that's why a lot of people are looking at them.
Well, you say that, sorry to interrupt, you say that, but I mean, we said a couple of days ago on our strikers, we did a forwards video. If you've not checked out the forwards video yet, we'll link it below. Go and check it out on the channel, the forwards video. We're talking about Haaland and obviously João Pedro and Isak in particular as well. And we were saying, oh, their fixtures look so great for the beginning of the season and loads of twos on the FDR. I'm telling you now, if I was a Dan Byrne owner, yes, Southampton at home. Okay, fair. Okay, got it. I'd play him there. But Bournemouth away, I mean, there's a bit of narrative. At time of recording, Solanke is still a Bournemouth player. Could change. Spurs, obviously going to be a difficult game. Going away to Wolves, away to Fulham. Then it's Man City, away at Everton. Not many clean sheets there, is there?
But this is my view.
This is difficult. Fixtures for Newcastle.
We said in the forwards video there's goals in these games. But there's goals for both sides in these games.
Clean sheets, yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I don't like the Newcastle defence particularly. I also don't like them because I don't know who's going to start. There's a lot of rumours about Trippier going. If Trippier goes, I think that makes some players, maybe the Livramentos and the Halls, a little bit more interesting.
Livramento's cheap, isn't he? Is he a four?
Yeah,
four,
they are. They're cheap, 4.5s.
Okay.
So if he goes, Trippier, then I think that becomes interesting. If he doesn't leave, then I think that throws them both out of the door because you can't really invest in either of them because you don't really know what's going to happen with that defensive unit. I don't think Dan Byrne... I mean, last season, Newcastle had waves, didn't they? Where there were chunks of the season where defensively they were super solid. Then they had injuries to key players, including the goalkeeper, and that was really negative for them.
Nick Pope being back is a big deal. Yeah,
it
we
is
should
a
discuss
big deal.
That. Yeah.
And that's, you know, that will make a big difference to them because that's their first choice goalkeeper and it'll make a big difference. But I'm not... I just don't feel the love. I don't see that many clean sheets in these opening weeks. And I sort of feel the same, but I think you might disagree with me about Everton and Mykolenko because Mykolenko's getting a lot of love and I'm not really feeling it.
I think he might be the best 4.5 in the game.
Oh my.
I think he might be the best 4.5 in the game. I think Everton defensively showed us last season under Dyche that they're getting their act together. I don't think that they are not going to be a flair team, Everton, right? We no. saw this from Dyche when he was the Burnley manager. And I think that... He only knows one way. He doesn't know how to play sexy Pep Guardiola football. This is Sean Dyche, and he's going to turn Everton into an efficient, you know, 1-0 team, and they're going to concede very few goals. They've got a good keeper behind them. Do you say what you like about Jordan Pickford?
No, I have no issues with the goalkeeper.
If you want to go for him in FPL, I'm not against it. I don't think the fixtures are too bad. There's a, you know, there's a bunch of twos here. Look at that as you scroll down the FDR. I mean, Spurs away, difficult enough game, absolutely. Villa away in four is difficult. But then a whole host of twos and threes there. And again, he's your 4.5. You rotate him out when they go to White Hart Lane. You rotate him out when they go to Villa Park.
But you can't rotate him with Konsa because it's game week two and game week four that you need. You need Konsa. So if it, and this is what I mean about working out who your defender of choice is. And because mine's Konsa, I think that's what puts me off.
So rotating with Anderson, West Ham at home and then Leicester at home.
Yeah.
That's your answer.
But that's how you have to do it. And I think that's a really important thing with your 4.5s because you look at it and you go, oh God, there's hundreds of them. There's loads of ones I'd really like. Just pick the ones that rotate best together because that's going to give you the most opportunity to maximise the returns that your 4.5s bring.
Yeah. I like him. I think he adds a little bit of attacking threat down that side as well. 11.2%. So still a little bit under the radar, Mikalenko. I think he's got the opportunity to kick on this season. Could be very, very good. Sam, before we talk about the 4.0, before we dive into the bargain basement, because if you want Haaland, you want Salah, and you want Trent, you're going to need at least one, I would suggest, of the 4.0 defenders. A quick shout out to our new FPL family sponsors for this season, Sleeper. If you've not heard of Sleeper, if you're American and listening to this and you're into fantasy sports, pretty good chance that you've heard of the Sleeper app. But if you're here in the UK like we are, you might not have heard of Sleeper, but they are getting into fantasy sports and into FPL big time. At Sleeper Footy is where you can find them over on X. And if you search for Sleeper app on either the iOS store or the Google Play store, if you've got an Android device, then go check them out. Really, really awesome little games, all free to play games. They've got like an FPL draft game. They've got a Pick'em League, loads of really good fun on there. And they are our sponsors for this season on FPL Family. And they will, in particular, be sponsoring our Manager of the Month tier over on Patreon. So you guys that are our patrons, you know who you are, we love you. Every single month, whether you're having a good or a bad season, we reset the scores to zero and I track everybody's scores offline in a spreadsheet. And if you are top of our Manager of the Month competition, and we've been doing this for a couple of years now, you get a footy shirt, right? You get whatever shirt you want to buy, whether it be Premier League or otherwise, right? The difference now, we are supercharging Manager of the Month with Sleeper so that first, second and third all get a shirt. So you don't have to even be first anymore. First, second and third. And we had so many people that...
I was one point away. Sometimes it came down to the minus fours. Like if you're taking a minus four.
We had people that were on the same scores and it was just down to how many hits they're taking. Yeah. It was so close. I felt so bad for those that come second and third. Well, this season... First, second and third all get a footy shirt. So if you want to come and join us at the Manager of the Month tier over on patreon.com/FPL family, you can do that. And if you come first, you will not only get a footy shirt, but you will also get £100 worth of kit bag vouchers. So if you get the Liverpool home shirt, you can get the Liverpool away shirt as well. Buy a shirt for your best mate. Buy a shirt for your other half if they're into football. You know, buy a Spurs shirt if you're feeling particularly ridiculous. First, second and third will all get a shirt. And if you are first in our Manager of the Month every single month, there is a £100 kit bag voucher up for grabs as well as the shirt. So patreon.com/FPR family. If you're already a patron of ours and have been for some time, no change, guys. Don't change anything. You've just got more chance to win stuff on a monthly basis. So at the $5 tier, go check it out. patreon.com/FPR family is where you can find that. Sam, we need a couple of 4.0 defenders.
Do you think we need a couple or do we need one?
4.0 defenders. Tell me, and I'm going to search here by 4.0, tell me who you like, and I will tell you whether the FPL family audience or the fantasy managers out there agree, because I've got a couple in mind. Who are you looking at? Who's in your team right now?
I mean, I think there's only two, is the reality.
I think there's only two.
And I think one of them is wearing the blue of Brighton.
Go on.
And I think one is wearing the red and white stripes of Southampton.
Who do you prefer?
For security purposes, and because I think that's where we are with this, I prefer Harwood Bellis from Southampton.
Right.
And
Barco not secure?
Well, let's talk about Barco in a minute. Let's have a quick word on Harwood Bellis first. He is going to start I think he started like 45 games for Southampton last season. Yes. He has scored.
He was a mainstay, wasn't he?
Yes. He has also scored in pre-season.
He has. Yes, I noticed that. Yeah. Twitter went a bit crazy.
We all went a bit mad. Yeah. And suddenly his ownership probably
went. All the claxons went off.
Here we go. Here come the all of the really serious FPL owners with our 4.0 scoring in pre-season. But yeah, and I think when you're looking for a 4.0, what are you actually looking for? Because you're not looking for a Haaland. You're not even looking for a, you know, an Eze or an Nkunku.
Just
or,
minutes, please.
You just want minutes. All I want.
Unless it's Lord Lindstrom.
That's different.
Shout out to Lord Lindstrom from a few years ago.
He was a legend. You're not. You're looking for somebody whose name is in the starting 11. That's all you can ask for when it comes to 4.0s. And you are going to get that with Harwood Bellis.
Okay. Very good. Enough said about him. I think absolutely he's a decent enough pick. But I have to say, I do like Valentin Barco. I think if you are going to go... So you said there, for security of starts, you'd go with Harwood Bellis. What's insecure about Barco?
Purvis Estupiñán.
Yeah, he's not coming back for a while.
Well,
don't worry about him. You can have baby Purvis instead. Get Barco.
Baby Purvis. They said that he would be back in September originally. Yeah, that's 3 game weeks.
We'll all be playing our wild card by then, and we can get rid of Barco, get somebody else.
Did you not listen in the forwards video when I told you that I didn't want to play my wild card too early?
Oh, I see. You'll go, oh, okay.
And so, and the last thing, Leroy, that you really want to do is change your 4.0 with a transfer 3 or 4 game weeks into the season.
Not with a transfer, no. But if you do it, if your strategy is early wild card,
well, then maybe
fine.
It's fine.
He's a far more sexy pick than Harwood Bellis. I mean, look, he's on set pieces, on corners in pre-season for Brighton. He's got a little bit of assist threat about him. I think.
Are we even certain?
The obvious pick.
Are we even certain that he's guaranteed to start in game one?
Yes, come on, it'd be fine.
I mean, I've got him in my current draft, but I'm not absolutely sure that you can say that he's locked in like Harwood Bellis is.
Okay. Well, 9.8% of the fantasy community agree with you. So that suggests to me he's still going a little bit under the radar. What I would say about both of those picks is that if you can squeeze an extra 0.5,
there are some really nice options
at 4.5 that are locked in, goal threat, bonus points, all the rest of it that we discussed earlier on in the video. But if you really, really have to go for a 4.0, and I think I do in my draft.
Would you have two? Have one.
No. I think that's just a step too far. Although we have got these two, right? And if it comes down to, if my draft is, I'm putting together the final draft at the beginning of August and I've got to squeeze 0.5 out somewhere, maybe I do, but I don't like it. I feel very uncomfortable going for 2 4.0s. I think just one is enough of a headache. But I like Barco and you like to be boring and go for Harwood Bellis, don't you?
Nothing boring about your 4.0s, Lee.
Well, there we go, guys. That is the Defenders video.
How often are you going to play Barco? Let's be frank.
Say again?
You're not going to play him, are you? He's going to be your third sub every week.
He's got some challenging fixtures, Brian, to start the season.
He's going to be sat there with his assist potential on your bench every week.
Double-digit hauls from
until
your 4.0.
Until he gets dropped for Purvis when he comes
back. On the bench and then gets dropped for Purvis. What could possibly go wrong, Sam? What could
Harwood
possibly
Bellis,
go wrong?
I'm telling you. Can't take it.
You're going to go Harwood Bellis. I'm going to go Barco. Let's see how that goes. Quick shout-out to our friends at Fantasy Football Scout before we go. Where we did a midfielders video, didn't we, a little while ago, and we spoke about the app was on its way and we just needed Apple to give it the green light and then it was done. Well, almost that very night, if not the morning after, that happened, and the Fantasy Football Scout app is now live on the iOS store, on your favourite Google Play store. If you're on Android, you can get it as well. Guys, it is flipping brilliant. It's flipping brilliant. You don't actually need to be a Fantasy Football Scout member to enjoy the app, but let me tell you, if you're a member, it just supercharges it. It's absolutely fantastic. All the different stats tables, the little spider graphs that you can see on the image here, the heat maps as well. You can directly compare player heat maps from last season. It is a superb bit of appage from our friends at Fantasy Football Scout. So if you've not downloaded that yet, that is one thing to definitely, definitely go into. And it's not too late to become a member. If you want to become a member over at Fantasy Football Scout, click on the link in the description below. Our affiliate link for Scout is in there. And you can become a member just in time for the new season and to download the new app. There we go, Sam. That is, we've done midfielders. We've done forwards. That is defenders covered off as well. Are we going to do goalkeepers?
We disagree on goalkeepers.
Oh, maybe we do a mini video on goalkeepers. I don't know. I think it's going to be a tough old season for goalkeepers. I personally am not going to be spending too much, whereas you're thinking about Raya, aren't you?
I'm going for a premium.
Well, listen, that's the defenders covered off. I'm going to go and check out more videos and more propaganda of Barco while you go and check out Harwood Bellis. And guys, leave us a like if you enjoyed the video. Loads more fantasy football content for you coming up right here on the channel. In a couple of weeks, we'll be doing our predictions video. We'll be doing a live stream where we go live and we talk about who we think is going to be top four, who's going to be relegated, golden boot, all that sort of stuff. And we need your input for that. We need you guys from the community to be on that live stream, because we take your input, we write it on a little envelope, we stick it away for 38 game weeks, and we bring it out at the end of the season in what is usually one of my favourite live streams of the season. So you don't want to miss out on that. Hit the subscribe so you don't. Leave us a like, and we'll see you next time. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.